So happy to have you along here on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be talking about literacy services in Wisconsin and zero in a little bit on health literacy today with a couple of guests, Michelle Erickson, Executive Director of Wisconsin Literacy Incorporated, and with Dr. Paul Smith, who is with the UW Department of Family Medicine. He's a board member of Wisconsin Literacy, Inc., and chairs its Health Literacy Committee. And his work in health literacy has served as kind of a catalyst for both the 2004 and 2007 Health Literacy Summit. That's Health Literacy Summit is coming up, and certainly we want to tell you about that and how you might get involved in that as well as we visit with them today. And if you have some questions or comments as we move along, we hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Michelle Erickson, welcome back. Nice to have you with us again.
It's great to be here, Larry. Thank you.
Dr. Paul Smith, welcome to you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
Let's first give people an idea of the extent of literacy here in this country. Michelle, can you tell us how many people in this country can't read?
Well, there's a recent report that came out titled The National Assessment of Adult Literacy. Statistics came out in December of 2005 that suggests that 93 million people in this country read at two of the lowest levels of literacy, basic and below basic. That means that these people struggle with finding a location on a map, reading a bus schedule, are tasks that present challenges, filling out job applications, applying for a driver's license. These are people that are more likely than good readers to be unemployed or need public assistance and often are uninformed consumers. They struggle to navigate our healthcare system, and they struggle as well to support their children's educational activities.
So we've got 93 million or so people who read at a very low level or don't read at all across the nation. What about Wisconsin?
In Wisconsin, there are about 1.5 million of our residents that are in need of literacy services. So that translates to about 1 in 5 adults in the state needing literacy services. We have about just under 800,000 adults adults who are 16 years of age or older without a high school diploma. And we have an additional 360,000 adults and children that speak a language other than English in their home.
Well, Dr. Smith, it's amazing to, I'm sure it's amazing to a lot of people to hear those kinds of numbers. And the first thing that comes to your head is why? You know, we've got supposedly a great education system here in the state and a great support service. Why can't so many people read?
That's a difficult question to answer. Certainly some of it has to do with the educational system that we have right now. The NALS data from 92, about 20% of high school graduates are in the lowest literacy level, which is surprising. You hear about people just getting passed along through high school, and that's at least part of the problem. If you think back 30 years ago, especially in Wisconsin, where farming is a big part of what was happening, kids often didn't finish school. They had to work on the farm. So a lot of our older adults never got far enough to really attain the kind of reading level that they would need to function well in our modern society. And then we have an immigrant population that's growing, especially in this state. And those folks often want to learn English, but it's difficult. It's one of the hardest languages to learn. And so that has an impact on their ability. And folks that are learning a new language tend to understand the language verbally sooner than they understand it reading. Mm. Reading is harder.
Sure.
At least those are some of the factors that have an influence on those numbers.
And Michelle, just back to you for a minute. What is the your executive director of the Wisconsin Literacy Inc.? What do you do to help people, and what is your organization about? We should mention that. You've been on before, but I want to bring that up again.
Sure. We support 49 member agencies. These are literacy programs and organizations across the state of Wisconsin that provide direct literacy services, both in English for English language learners as well as Americans, improving their reading and writing skills. We provide them with training, resource development, information referral, and advocacy. And we have, since we spoke last year, we have added to our staff. We have 4 regional literacy consultants that are located in Green Bay, Eau Claire, Milwaukee, and Madison, then that provide more consulting services to emerging literacy programs or established programs and consulting services for them to expand services and improve their organizational development.
You know, I'm thinking about health literacy and how it might affect a person's health. I can see indirect effects. If you can't read and write, you can't. You know, it's harder to get a job, or you get a low-paying job. Maybe health insurance is a problem. But let's say those aren't problems. Why, if a person goes to the doctor and says, here I'm not feeling well, the doctor makes a diagnosis, and that should be it. So people might wonder why health literacy would be such a big issue, Dr. Smith.
Well, healthcare is obviously very complex. Lots of details, lots of important facts. And when someone comes to to see the doctor, there's a fair amount of exchange of information, and at the end, when a diagnosis is made and instructions are given, they're usually given verbally, but it's pretty easy to overwhelm folks, and so we often rely on written materials to add additional details, or some of the information, like prescription information, is written down. And we rely on the pharmacist or what's written on the prescription label for the person to understand that. But if they have difficulty reading those things after they've left the office, the kind of reinforcing information that helps them remember, well, what was I supposed to do, or what about this problem that I have, it becomes much harder for them to understand about their illness, the things that they could do to help themselves with the illness, and then to be able to do the instructions that the doctor asked, the things that they asked them to do. For example, if I refer a patient to have a test across town and they don't have a car, they rely on the public transportation system, a bus, to get from one place to another, and they know how to get to work because they figured that out, which one to get on and which one to get off and that sort of thing. But they have to go to a completely new place. They've never been there before, and they can't read the bus schedule. Think about how difficult that would be to go see a consultant or go have a test done. Those are the kind of barriers that that just make it harder to get things done.
Well, I guess I could even see just reading the prescription bottle to know how many tablets to take on what day and so forth and so on.
Exactly. And there was a study just published recently looking at that very issue with literacy levels. And as you would guess, the people that had more difficulty reading had more difficulty not only just reading the instruction, but even folks that could read the instruction, the researchers then asked them, well, how would you actually take it? Show me. And they, even though they could correctly read it, they could about half of them could not actually show the researcher how they were going to take the pills, how many and at what time.
Well, that's obviously a big problem.
Absolutely.
Well, and I want to take some calls here, and we'll get to George here in just a minute. You can join us again, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. I mentioned the Health Literacy Summit earlier, Michelle. Is this what the summit is trying to address, these kinds of issues? Talk about that a little bit.
Our summit is an opportunity for both healthcare providers and literacy providers to come together in one place and discuss some of these issues. We will be having workshops on health literacy curriculums. We'll have a workshop on the Joint Commission's recent white paper that was released. The Joint Commission as Accreditation Agency for Hospitals has released a white paper that outlines measures that need to be taken to protect patient safety in the healthcare system, specifically related to adults with low literacy skills. And we will have a third workshop I'm going to slip my mind here. And I'm sorry, Dr. Smith will be conducting that workshop. We'll be doing a third workshop on rewriting patient education materials at lower levels of literacy so that that adults are able to better digest
process the information. Right. Sure. Well, let's take some calls. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And George in Madison, we'll turn to you. Hi, George. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to comment. There's an area which perhaps has been overlooked in the discussion, and I'd like to see if it could be brought in. Many of us, including myself, suffer from dyslexia. And it has nothing to do with intelligence nor the ability to learn, except to learn English, if you will, and spelling. And I'm a college graduate, and I have a terrible time with spelling. I'll take any response off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Dr. Smith, start with you.
Well, it kind of gets to sort of a basic issue as I started to think about how does the healthcare system deal with people who cannot speak English well in the United States and can't read very well? And it's clear to me that although certainly the education system and what the community-based literacy organizations that Wisconsin Literacy represent, the work that they do is really important, but we cannot educate our way out of this problem. We're not going to be able to get the 70-year-old farmer up in northern Wisconsin to go back to school to learn how to read better, that somehow the healthcare system has to redesign itself so that it can accommodate anybody, no matter what their reading skills or their language abilities are, and that will take a large effort. Part of it is simply one thing we can do is rewrite the materials that are complex and written at a grade level that's too high and bring them down to more of a fifth or sixth grade level, which is what I'm told is the level we should be shooting for, so that it's more understandable for the people that can read. But even that's not going to solve all the problems. There's an engineering concept called universal design. The idea is that you can take any document, any process, anything, and make it easier for anyone to do it. And if you can make it easier for anyone to do it, you can make it easier for someone who has difficulty with reading or with low literacy skills. An example that has nothing to do with healthcare would be, have you ever walked up to a building and you have no idea what door to go in? Well, the architect that designed that building had no concept of universal design. You ought to be able to tell by just looking at the building where to go. Well, you should be able to do that same sort of thing trying to navigate a hospital, trying to get through to find the emergency room or something like that. So if we apply that principle of universal design to the processes and the papers and the forms and the documents that we give to people as part of the healthcare process, that should at least begin to address how do we solve this problem for folks who have dyslexia or can't read very well because their eyesight's not very good, or the folks that have learning disabilities and can't understand things as well. We still have to deal with them, and they still need to be able to understand so they can make good decisions about their health and healthcare.
Sure. Michelle, a comment from you?
I would just agree with Dr. Smith that our programs serve both adults with learning disabilities as well as English language learners, as well as adults who for the very first time maybe in their later years are learning to read and write. And so a lot of different needs out there. We're working to serve over 10,000 learners with over 4,000 volunteers that are just through the nearly 50 member agencies in our program. So there's a lot of need out there.
Yeah, I was delighted to be able to talk to one of those volunteers last year with you. I believe he was a fellow was on who was a wonderful volunteer and. We can even talk a little bit about that, too, as we move along. Michelle Erickson is Executive Director of Wisconsin Literacy, Inc., and Dr. Paul Smith is UW Department of Family Medicine, a board member of Wisconsin Literacy, Inc., and chairs its Health Literacy Committee. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about literacy services here in Wisconsin and focusing a bit on health literacy, but you can certainly join in with your own questions or comments. Maybe you've had some experiences of your own, maybe yourself or family members with some of those issues or friends, or maybe you've volunteered and worked in this area as well. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and with your comments. This whole area, you mentioned one study that had been done in the health literacy area, Dr. Smith, but I haven't seen a lot of reports on this or research that's been done in this particular area. Has there been very much?
Well, the answer is no. There's not been a lot. When you go look at the medical journals and look back to see when they start to talk about literacy as an issue impacting health and healthcare, it only goes back about 15 years. It's really just started to get on the sort of radar scope of the researchers and the healthcare community in general. There has been some momentum recently where this is becoming more on the forefront, and people are beginning to think about it and talk about it, partly because of two large reports that came out in 2004. The Institute of Medicine is a large group of very respected scientists in the country that often will look at difficult, especially medical issues or social issues, and do a very comprehensive report and then publish that. And that often creates a lot of discussion and, mm-hmm. and reaction and the issue of patient safety, and it was based primarily on an Institute of Medicine report. Within a few months of the Institute of Medicine report, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, a federal government agency, also published a report on health literacy. And between those two reports has really started to stimulate discussion and some new research. The AHRQ, the federal agency, has sponsored two relatively small grant programs specifically related to health literacy research. And we're beginning to see more researchers pay attention to literacy as one of the demographic mm-hmm. factors that they would look at to try to correlate with health status. So mm-hmm. what we're finding is that the traditional ones that are looked at, like gender and race and income level and education level, correlate some with health status. But if you compare literacy and literacy skills, it actually may be a stronger determinant of one's health status than those other things that we traditionally looked at. Education level, for example, typically we would just ask, how many years did you go to school? But with the recent federal surveys of literacy levels, we found that 20% of high school graduates are functionally illiterate. So education status all by itself is not a good – you can't just look at that as we we're looking at the
and
factors
as we're learning.
That influence it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, certainly.
So there is definitely some gaining of momentum, but it's still – many hospitals, many doctors have not really thought about it very much. It's just not something that's – there have been too many other issues for them to deal with, and it's just not something that they paid much attention to. But we're hoping to change that.
Yeah. Well, let's take a call from Tim in Madison next. Tim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment related to what was earlier mentioned about universal design and some areas that seems like that could be really helpful with the problems in healthcare. And I think particularly about something that I see commercially, like when you purchase anything from IKEA, which has to be marketed globally, and the instructions are all graphic design. Like, you can assemble anything from there based on pictures. And I really think there's really good progress there, and I often marvel at how well that design is done. I think there you can take some, something from that success and apply it to your problem. And I'll take my response off the air.
Yeah, Tim, thank you very much. Michelle, turn to you first.
There are many ways adults learn, and sometimes there are visual learners as kinesthetic learners, and so our programs do try to reach different methods, particularly adults with learning disabilities and dyslexia in particular. There are various approaches to address those learning disabilities that our both volunteers and instructors are working with adults to do that. And this really is looking at these methods as just another way to address the problem. In particular, in health literacy, too, I think that one of the issues that needs to be addressed through not hospitals, healthcare providers, nurses associations, the pharmaceutical society, all these that are involved, even insurance agencies where people enter the healthcare system, that there are ways to look at what is being put out there to consumers and to clients. And if we are continuously thinking as if health literacy is somewhat in the DNA of what we do, then I think that we can start addressing this issue and bringing more people aboard in terms of their ability to process the information and make good decisions.
Hmm. Dr. Smith, comments from you?
Well, I think there's, as the caller said, there's examples out there of effective communication methods, and we just need to learn about them. The healthcare organizations the healthcare system needs to start to harness some of what's known out there in the education system. I think there are methods using sound, using pictures, using a computer with video. I mean, you can. There are computers now that will read text for you, and you can slow it down and speed it up. And there's all sorts of adaptive technologies for people who have poor vision, who can't see. Well, I suspect that there's a lot of those technologies that properly harnessed could be used for folks who can't read but can understand things when it's said verbally. And so, you know, for example, someone has suggested, and I've heard of a little trial of giving patient instructions on a little digital recorder. And so you just record it. You know, they had these little yak-back things that the kids would get for $10 at the store, and it would hold 10 minutes of recorded material. Well, you could record the instructions and just hand it to them. And then they could go home and play it over and over and over to be able to reinforce what the instructions were. So I think there's a variety of technologies that are out there now that can definitely improve communication from different aspects, and we need to start to harness some of those technologies.
Yeah. Good points, Tim. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it very much. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. Tim had a good idea. Maybe you have one too, or maybe you just have a question, or maybe you've been involved in this literacy challenge and this literacy fight that we have here in the state and across the country. Give us a call. Again, 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Michelle, who's all going to be attending your health literacy summit, or who can attend, should I say? Let me put it that way.
We have, as I mentioned before, 49 different member agencies that will, many of those will be coming and bringing a local healthcare representative from their communities. And as well, we have worked with Verizon is our presenting sponsor of this event and has helped us bring the literacy community together. We have other sponsors that are helping on the healthcare side to bring the Wisconsin Hospital Association to connect all the hospitals. We are working with very wide variety of statewide associations, from pharmaceutical to nursing association to the dietitians to the diabetes association. It just kept growing. We're working with public health, with the Wisconsin Technical College System, to bring a lot of different perspectives. Insurance industry as well will be represented. So we're trying to look at this issue from a lot of different angles, from entry to exit point of the healthcare system. So we're excited about the opportunity to really look at. We will also break out into regional. Four regional efforts will be based with our four regional literacy councils that I mentioned earlier in the program, located in different parts of Wisconsin. And they, along with area health education directors, will be working to further these efforts on a regional basis in 2008 and 2009, so that local and regional efforts can further the initiative and raise awareness.
Yeah, I would expect their a regional approach might not be a bad approach. The regions of the state even differ quite a bit,
right? If you
in
look
terms
at,
of resources and whatever,
absolutely. We have our regional person in the Northwest, and our person in the Southeast are dealing with just extremely different populations and needs. If you look at Milwaukee County and you look up at the Northwest of our state, those are
really different areas.
Absolutely, with different needs.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to quite a few people to visit with you here. Judy and Delavan, your turn. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I work with a group, a nonprofit group, Friends of the Children, that goes to Haiti 2 times a year. And one of the things that we found is that we might dispense medications, but we're never sure. Well, no, that's not right. We're sure that they're not always being taken the way that they're being prescribed, or if they're even being taken at all. And we know that that's a problem with the literacy and the translation and so forth. I'd go with 10 classic rules if there was a paper on that, or just, you know, how, just the 10 simplest ways of getting medicines into somebody who doesn't read that language. Is there something that gives me those simple guidelines?
That's a good question, and Dr. Smith, do we have a good answer?
Not that I'm aware of, but it's a great idea. I have seen a few things tried. Part of it is this is such a new issue in terms of the research community. So people, we're seeing ideas floated out. Oh, gee, we could use these pictures, or we could tape a pill to a piece of paper and put pictures with a clock for times or things like that. That I've seen ideas, but I've yet to see it specifically about the medication issue. Anybody do some research to say, okay, if we try this method, does it really improve people taking the medication correctly? So there's certainly ideas out there and pictures and techniques that people have used, but we're really not sure what really works or what's the best way of doing it, and that's something yet to be figured out.
Well, that now our last caller, would she be or someone like her be a candidate for attending this conference?
Absolutely. If you're dealing in serving populations in need and having them be able to be in a position to determine and make good decisions about their health, we're looking for both, as I said, on the literacy side, providers that are working directly with populations, as well as the healthcare side that are providing, the healthcare information and care.
That's off, yeah. And can people go online to see how to register and so forth for that?
Yes, www.wisconsinliteracy.org is our website address, and there is information on our Health Literacy Summit. It does require a password and username to register for the summit, and so to make sure that all the right people are attending, we do have this check-in process. But if they get on this on the site and are interested in registering, they can follow through with our agency to call for that registration and password number.
Okay, and if people wanted to just call directly, is there a number to call for that or not?
Yes, we're at 608-257-1655.
608-257-1655. Would be the number to call. All right. Let's go to Susan in Jackson. Hi, Susan. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Morning.
I would like to talk about Wisconsin Bookworms. Wisconsin Bookworms is celebrating 10 years in Wisconsin. It was formerly known as Wisconsin First Books. But anyway, we have volunteers throughout the state. They're organized by counties. And we go out and read once a month to Head Start classes. We're always soliciting for volunteers. You know, we try to get as many as possible.
Sure.
And, of course, we need the funds. We figure it costs about $25 a year per child. But, for example, I go into 2 Head Start classes every month, and there are 16 children in each class, and I read them a story, I do an activity, and at the end of my session, every child in the room gets a book. They get a copy of the book I just read. So we're promoting literacy. And we're getting books into the hands of the children and of the families, and it's under the umbrella of UW Extension.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a great program. Michelle, comment from you?
We have it does sound like a great program. A lot of our organizations work in family literacy, where they're working both with schools or they're working with adults and their children simultaneously to improve reading and writing skills. So we have found, I mean, studies show that it's very obvious that parents or caregivers who are good readers and literate raise children to be the same. And so really important to address the issue of both sides, both in early learning for children, but as well as adults. Children who go home to parents that don't read or don't have books in the home, it makes it very difficult for the school system to cover that gap in learning. And so much of it is important at crucial stages. Our upcoming celebration of literacy that is coming up May 17th, hosted by First Lady Jessica Doyle, State Superintendent Elizabeth Burmaster will be our keynote along with Mrs. Doyle. And really, the message that we are trying to promote is that children are made readers on the laps of their parents. That's a quote that we've used, and it's important that we make this connection. And programs like Even Start that have such an impact on both children and adults at the same time are really doing this very well.
And if you're an adult and you can't read to your children,
they bring a lot of motivation to read. And if you have children in the school system and you're not reading and writing yourself as an adult, that is the high motivator to bring adults to literacy programs.
Susan, I thank you very much. I want to give some others a chance to get on here. All of our lines are filled here, and appreciate your comments. Marge in Clark County, we'll go to you next. Hi, Marge.
Hi. I want to thank the people who are extending this to the health industry, because I think it's really, really important to have literacy in that vein. But I also want to pat Wisconsin on the back, because when you started out, you actually said 31% of the population was basically or under basic illiterate,
mm-hmm.
because it was 93 million out of the 300. Mm-hmm. And in Wisconsin, taking the adults, it was only 20%. So I think we must have done a better job than some places have in the first place. But it really, really is important to be having people understand what they are being told when they're being told, and it's not possible to understand it if you can't look back and read it a second time.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for calling. Dr. Smith, a comment from you?
It is true. Wisconsin literacy rates are a bit lower than the national average. The latest data that we have specifically about Wisconsin is a calculation using the 1992 national literacy assessment data. And depending on which type of literacy one was looking at, and they kind of measured three different kinds of literacy, the national average was somewhere between 47% to 51%. And using demographic factors and census data and things like that, they calculated that Wisconsin's low literacy rate, those two lowest levels, was at just 39%. So nationally, 47% to 51% mm-hmm. at level one and level two, where Wisconsin was only 39%.
Still a high number.
Yeah.
Still a very, very high number. Thanks, Marge, very much for calling. Joanne in Beloit, we go to you next. Hi, Joanne.
Good morning. I wanted to respond to the man that called in about being pretty intelligent, but never being a good speller. I don't think your people responded to that. I took a class once in which my professor encouraged me to do a seminar on it was a special choice seminar on spelling. And my eyes were opened. Our daughter was really intelligent, couldn't spell beans. In fact, she left the E off from maid every single time. It just wasn't there. And one of the things, I found a book that was extremely useful. It was written by a man who had gone to college. His professors encouraged him to drop out, but he stuck with it simply because he couldn't spell. And he wrote a book called Spell is a Four-Lettered Word, S-P-E-L. And it came about that there's many, many, many people who are real intelligent, Einstein among them, who couldn't spell. It wasn't dyslexia necessarily. There are many reasons, but one of the main reasons was a short-term memory. And I just want to encourage this guy to just forget that. There are so many things that accommodate people today who just cannot spell and won't be able to. Mm-hmm. And one is a secretary if they're in the right job. One is spell check on the computer. There's several things like that. And, of course, dictionaries are always right there if they can get to the word.
Yeah, and since we're running, thank you very much for calling, Joanne. A comment from you, Dr. Smith, on that?
Well, I'll admit I am a terrible speller, so I can relate. One of the points that I make as I speak about health literacy with healthcare providers is you cannot tell by looking at someone, nor could you tell by reading what they write or their ability to spell, what their literacy level is. Folks that have difficulty reading are very, very good at hiding that and getting by. And so it's really difficult to – you can't make assumptions when mm-hmm. you speak with someone about their ability to read or to not read.
Yeah.
And that's something that just we don't think about as we – especially as healthcare providers, as we talk with folks.
Well, I want to go back to the celebration of literacy on May 17th. Michelle, who's that for?
That is an opportunity to recognize our adult learners, tutors, literacy advocates, businesses, and family literacy programs. We have seven different awards in those various categories, as well as corrections as well, that honor adults in across the state that are nominated by their local programs for this award. It's Wisconsin Literacy's one fundraiser of the year, and it is a luncheon at Monona Terrace. It's usually an audience of 250 businesses, legislators, mm-hmm. adult literacy advocates, learners, program staff, and it's really a celebration of the work and effort that has been put forth throughout the year by so many literacy advocates, volunteers, tutors, learners, and so forth. We have, as I mentioned earlier, between the Wisconsin Technical College System and our literacy programs, we're really only reaching less than 10% of the population in need. But those that have come forward and are working are really very much dedicated to this effort in improving their skills, and it's a chance to honor them and to look at what's accomplished and to celebrate that.
And again, the other conference, the summit, I should say, is coming up on June 21st. The celebration is May 17th. The summit is on June 21st, and that is at Wisconsin Dells, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. The summit will occur at Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells, June 21st, and the celebration will be at Monona Terrace here in Madison.
And for more information, again, what's the give us our website again where we can go for that.
The website is www.wisconsinliteracy.org, all spelled out. And the phone number we can be reached at is area code 608-257-1655.
Well, you're doing wonderful work, both of you. I thank you both very much for being with us. And certainly this is not something that's going to go away tomorrow or next year or the year after that or probably the many years after that. But we can only keep trying and do the best we can and keep pecking away at it and hopefully be great someday if we could say we had a literacy rate of 100% in this state and this country.
Sure would.
Probably not in my lifetime, but I really appreciate people like you who are helping helping to attack and maybe try to reach that goal. Thank you both very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Michelle Erickson is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Literacy, Inc., and Dr. Paul Smith with the UW Department of Family Medicine, a board member of Wisconsin Literacy, Inc., and he chairs its Health Literacy Committee and will be participating in that summit as well. And thank you for listening. Stay with us. We're going to be talking about world food hunger and what some churches here in Wisconsin and elsewhere across the country, actually, are doing to help in that battle. lots of battles we've got to fight, and they're worthy battles, and we'll be talking about the World Hunger Battle next with Ken Shapiro and with Margaret Bogue. Coming up here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.